Marcelo is a day laborer from Brazil who's been living in the U.S. for the past 7 years. Like many people interviewed for this story, he didn't want to give his last name because he's not legally authorized to work here. After Sandy, he spent a lot of time helping contractors clean flooded basements in homes along the Jersey Shore. One day, he was taking down sheetrock when he got hit in the head with a hammer.
At the time, it's just the blood come out. I keep on working because I thought nothing happened. Then the day after, I started having headaches. For 3 days, I say to myself, you know what, better go to the doctor because maybe something damaged inside. I don't know, I can't see inside.
So he went to the hospital, had some x-rays taken, and eventually the headaches went away. 1 week later, the bill arrived in the mail. It was close to $1,000, and Marcelo didn't have insurance. So he contacted his boss.
He said, that's impossible. I don't know you. You're not supposed to work for me. You don't have legal documents to work for me. I can help with that. You're on right now. So I end up paying the bills by myself.
Marcelo's story is common among his fellow day laborers. Many of them don't speak English. They may be unaware of their rights, and they're often afraid to seek help or report violations for fear they may be blacklisted from future work assignments or even deported. While these sorts of problems are certainly nothing new, events like Sandy can present unique challenges.
What it is a chaotic environment into which you're putting a big ad hoc workforce.
Patrick Riley is director of the U.S. Department of Labor's Wage and Hour Division for Southern New Jersey. He says that after a disaster, day laborers often work around the clock in the rush to clear debris and return people's lives back to normal.
And there's an immediacy to it that may lead employers to say, well, I'm not going to worry about the labor standards. I need to get this done.
In Marcelo's case, his employer didn't give him gloves, goggles, or other safety equipment that was required under the law. Hernan came to New Jersey from Guatemala a year ago and found plenty of work rebuilding homes at the shore.
Hay muchos tóxicos, hay muchos químicos.
Workers were exposed to all sorts of poisons and chemicals, and they didn't realize the dangers until they started to get sick, he said, echoing accounts from other workers who reported rashes, allergies, vomiting, and breathing problems. In the end, it's the workers who suffer the most, he continued. I think that wasn't taken into consideration. OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, has conducted more than 240 Sandy-related inspections in New Jersey and New York over the past year and found 191 violations, for which it's handed out more than $1 million in fines. In addition to unsafe conditions, many groups that provide services to day laborers say they're also hearing cases of workers not being paid or being underpaid for Sandy recovery work.
We've been trying to do as much as we can to minimize the wage problems that could crop up.
Patrick Riley at the Department of Labor says the federal government has initiated more than 50 Sandy-related payment investigations in New Jersey, and state authorities have launched a few dozen more. Carlos Canales works as an organizer at Casa Freehold, a day labor worker center. He filed 10 cases with the state on behalf of workers back in the spring, but is still waiting for a response.
Really, the system is being done to fail, just to give the illusion to the worker that they have some mechanism to fight against employer. But that's not true. There's nothing there.
In the face of slow government response, Casa Freehold and groups like New Labor are taking up the fight to help workers protect themselves. On a recent weekday morning in Red Bank, New Labor organizers set up an easel in the corner of a church parking lot and begin a class to teach workers about their rights.
Buenos días a todos. Mi nombre es Jonás Mendoza y aquí andamos.
Workplace safety trainer Jonas Mendoza hands out instructions for workers to file anonymous complaints. He reminds everyone that labor laws protect them, regardless of their immigration status. And he passes out gloves and masks at the end of his talk. Such efforts are becoming more common with grants from OSHA and the Robin Hood Foundation. But immigrant and labor rights organizations think more attention needs to be paid to train workers both in advance of disasters, so they're better prepared, and in the aftermath, when their contributions to the recovery often remain unrecognized and invisible.